This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What is the No Spin News all about?
You know that this is a fact-based analysis news program. You know that. We avoid speculation. We don't do conspiracies here. We don't do party politics here. We're not nonpartisan. That's wrong. Not that. Okay, we are advocates for a stronger America and a more just society. We don't believe in communism. We don't believe in socialism. We don't believe in nihilism. We don't believe in the progressive woke culture. We think it is un-American. We don't support that. So you should know what we are, and it would then crystallize what we do.
Listen to the No Spin News. Subscribe to Bill O'Reilly's podcast feed wherever podcasts are available.
The question that is on everyone's mind is Donald Trump to blame for the red wave that just wasn't? This is Can't Cancel Rob Smith. All right, problematics. Now that we've had a couple of days to sort of materialize, and we've had a couple of days to kind of think about exactly what happened on Tuesday night, I think that the question on everybody's minds is, was Trump to blame for the red wave that wasn't? And so before I go into exactly what went wrong on election night, and if you listened to the last episode, I talked a lot about the fact that it is so beyond frustrating, and it really does engender a sort of distrust from the populace when it takes this long to get election results. It is completely ridiculous. We need to stop accepting this, and this is not something that should continue. So back to the midterms. Okay. Now, I know that there are a lot of, first of all, there's a lot of people on the left that are very gleeful about what happened on Tuesday night. Like, first of all, let's be clear. The Democrats are about to lose the House, and they're likely to lose the Senate. Let's be very clear about that. Now, these losses may not be as massive as they were originally expected to be. I guess this is why they are celebrating right now. And I think that a lot of this narrative about how much of a disaster Tuesday night was, this is really sort of a psyop that's coming from the left, because I think that it is very clear that there were a lot of people on our side, on conservatives, Republicans, that were a little overconfident about our chances on midterm night. But to be clear, it was still a pretty good night, right? So the question that everybody has right now is a valid question. And the question is the red puddle, is the red wave that wasn't, I remember it was going to be a red tsunami, then it was a red wave, and I was pretty much like a red, like when you're, you know, you've got one of those sinks that just continues to drip, and you know, it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter what screw you tighten, doesn't matter how much you turn it off, it just continues to drip. So that's kind of what happened last a couple of nights ago. It was a red puddle. And there's a lot of infighting that is going on between a lot of conservatives and a lot of Trump world people right now. So there is the establishment, you know, journalists for places like the Wall Street Journal, et cetera, et cetera. They say that this disaster is all Trump's fault. And I'm going to tell you, and I think I got some hardcore Trump people that listen to me. I got some hardcore MAGA people. I got a couple of independents. I got a couple of liberals, problematics. You guys are all around the political spectrum. And so I will concede that there is a little truth to the fact that some of Trump's involvement isn't great because he did not endorse some amazing candidates. And I think that when you have people that are running in races that are not so super red, that it's not a good idea to, number one, have those people wrap themselves around Trump. And number two, it seems that as a precondition to getting the Trump endorsement and to, you know, having events at Mar-a-Lago and to doing all of these things that very much help these candidates, by the way, you kind of have to embrace, you know, all of the stuff about the 2020 election being stolen, about, you know, all of that other stuff. You kind of have to embrace these things in order to get the Trump endorsement and all that stuff. And I think that that's a mistake. I think that for a lot of Republicans that are running in districts that may not be super red, and a lot of these Republicans won, by the way, George Santos won in a Long Island district. He became the first gay Republican in Congress. You know, that, like, this person won in Long Island, right? This is not deep red. So some of these candidates, and there are other candidates, Ana Paulina Luna, my friend, like, she ran, she won her race in Florida 13. These are very moderate candidates, right? And they were both, I believe, endorsed by Trump. But both of these races in particular were successful because they really did focus on grassroots organizing. There's a lot of these races that were unsuccessful, races like Bo Hines in North Carolina, and I thought that Bo Hines was a shoo-in, because I look at Bo Hines and I think of Madison Cawthorn, and I looked at Bo Hines and I'm like, man, this is Madison Cawthorn without the drama. So I thought for sure he was going to win, and that was also a fairly red district, and he lost. Catalina Loft ran in Adam Kinzinger's old seat. She got the nomination. She lost. And this was somebody else. Like, you've got to think that a seat that Adam Kinzinger used to hold, that's not the reddest of red Republican areas. So maybe it's not the best idea to run as a super staunch, sort of like Trump person in that district. And so I don't know that it was the best idea. And also, like, I don't know anything about the races that some of these people ran to, you know, locally, right? Because everything, and this is what I've learned from watching the congressional campaigns of people that I personally know that won, is that these races are not won on social media. These races are not won by Twitter followers. These races are not won because you get, you know, some Fox News hits, whatever. Look at Myra Flores. Myra Flores got a whole lot of attention when she won that special election, and she lost. And so this stuff is, like, and I think the lesson here is, I don't know that the lesson is, I think blame Trump is too easy. And I think that there are a lot of forces in the party that are just kind of over him. And I get it. And I understand that there are a lot of people that are over that. But what a lot of people don't understand as well is that, you know, and especially some of these hardcore Trump people that are like, oh, the establishment, the establishment. Trump is the establishment at this point. There is not a single Republican candidate for any sort of elected office all across the country that was not pretty much clamoring for that endorsement, to be able to have a fundraising event at Mar-a-Lago, to be able to put that on the marketing materials, et cetera, et cetera. Except for maybe the ones, like I spoke of, that are not in the most deep red districts. So is Trump partly to blame? I think so, because I think that, first of all, it's not a good look. There was a candidate, O'Day, that lost his race. It's not a good look for Trump to be dunking on a Republican candidate that lost on Truth Social. Like, that's not a good look. And it's not a good look to sort of wield your power and say, well, this person, you know, should have, you know, got better from my endorsement, et cetera, et cetera. That's not a good look. It makes them look petty. It makes them seem like the interests of him are before the interests of the party. It wasn't a good look for him to go on Truth Social. And by the way, one of the best things that happened on Tuesday was Florida is now blood red. And Ron DeSantis completely smacked Charlie Crist down. Was it a good idea for Trump to go on Truth Social and talk about how the numbers of people that showed up for him were greater than the numbers of people that showed up for Ron DeSantis? And this helps who exactly? Who does this help? I mean, that's the question. And that's the question that we really have to start asking ourselves, you know, the conservative movement, the Republican movement, as Trump is quite obviously about to announce a run in 2020. I remember hearing rumors that he was going to announce on Monday. Thank God he didn't. You know, obviously, November 15th is on the books for an event at Mar-a-Lago. He is obviously going to announce. There's a lot of people, Kayleigh McEnany, Jason Miller, there are a lot of people that are close to Trump world that are saying, like, you shouldn't announce right now. Do not make this all about you. When the, you know, a part of the reason that Republicans underperformed was that a lot of it was a repudiation of you and some people that were too closely aligned to you. And obviously, this is something that turns off a amount of the electorate that Republicans obviously need to win. And I think about, and you know, in for this, like, I always think about Beau Hines and I think about Catalina Loth. These were not poor candidates. And we can get into the Dr. Oz stuff a little bit. In fact, you know what? Let me table that conversation right now. I'm gonna break this down a little bit more after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Problematics. Let's continue to get into this. Okay, so before the break, you know, I was talking about Trump's... is the underperformance of Republicans on Tuesday, is it Trump's fault? Like I said, yes and no. Are there some things that he could have done better? Absolutely. There's some pettiness that he engages in that he really shouldn't be engaging in if he wants to be this very powerful figure and leader in the party. Yes. But also, it really does come to a candidate quality issue. And now we cannot take away the risky bet that the Democrats did. Democrats sunk money into some of the more extreme candidates in some of these races, because they wanted to elevate the more fringe, the more extreme candidates. And you got to say, you got to look at some of these races. You got to wonder whether or not it worked. Obviously, it did. And so people talk about candidate quality issue where we're going into a runoff. Look, in Georgia, and when it comes to Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock, and I got to keep it real with you, Problematics. Like, I had to keep it all the way real. Herschel Walker is not an incredible candidate, okay? There were other people that could have run that were more traditional politicians. One of the problems that Trump has, and this is about Herschel Walker, and this is also about Dr. Oz, who literally lost to somebody with brain damage in Pennsylvania. The problem with Trump and the problem with Trump world is that they are obsessed with fame and celebrity to the point that they will endorse that above all else. It happened with Herschel Walker, who, by the way, now they're going to a runoff, a stronger candidate, I think, would have roundly beat Raphael Warnock. Will he prevail in the runoff? I believe that Herschel Walker will. Still doesn't make him a strong candidate. Still doesn't make me believe he'll be a particularly great senator. I know he'll do what he's told, which is, you know, with some people in the Republican Party, I mean, that's what they value, obviously, more than anything else. Somebody that's going to do what they're told. But look at what happened in Pennsylvania. Look at what happened with Dr. Oz, who, personally, I never thought that Dr. Oz was a great candidate, not for Pennsylvania. They elected, Pennsylvanians elected a man with literal brain damage, okay, over Dr. Oz. And if you remember, that primary got very contentious between Dr. Oz and Kathy Burnett, who I believed at the time was a stronger candidate. But there were so many people that had stars in their eyes because Dr. Oz had Hollywood backing. The Dr. Oz was a Hollywood celebrity. Dr. Oz was on TV for 20 years. Dr. Oz may possibly get Oprah's backing. Of course, Oprah was never going to back a Republican. Oprah backed John Fetterman. So people got so obsessed with the celebrity aspect of Dr. Oz, they missed things that working class people, that people from Pennsylvania obviously picked up on. The fact that this person was not a man of the people. This is the crew today candidate. Okay? This person was like, it was like when Barack Obama made that gaffe when he was talking about the price of arugula. Okay? And so you're running that against, and say what you want about John Fetterman, he is brain damaged. This is a man that has never had a job in his entire life. He bought his home from his sister for $1. He was taken care of by his parents until he was 50 years old. Then he ran for office, did not even do a good job as mayor in whatever city that it was that he was mayor. I didn't do a good job at that, and so runs the Senate. But aesthetically, you look at John Fetterman, and if you don't know any of these things, which, by the way, if you're not really doing your due diligence, and if you're not watching conservative media, you will never know any of those things that I just told you about John Fetterman. Do you think that a lot of those people that voted for John Fetterman know that he literally chased a black man down with a shotgun and held an innocent black man until police officers came and said that there's no problem? These are facts. You can Google these things. But, you know, Tucker Carlson made a really good point, not about the Fetterman-Oz race, but about in general, is that the liberals and the left and Democrats own the media. There is one channel that you can go to get information like this, and they hate it, and they will not stop until Fox News is done. It is their mission in life to destroy Fox News. And so, say what you want about Fetterman, getting back to the point, he played the role well. A sweatshirt, jeans, shorts, tennis shoes. John Fetterman knew how to look like the people whose vote he was trying to get. And I gotta tell you, I would not be surprised if he got some Republican votes as well. And mind you, in Pennsylvania, after... And this was a point that I had made in a couple of news hits that I did. Prior to his awful debate, 48% of the mail-in ballots that were requested, and by mail-in I'm talking about absentee ballots, etc., had already been cast. So that horrific debate did not hurt him all that much. And so the reality, when you look at why a lot of these Trump-backed candidates lost, was that they may not have been great candidates in the first place. I was hoping Kathy Barnett was my personal choice in the primary. She's from Pennsylvania. She has a better story as a veteran. This is somebody that would have been able to connect with people and to get independence. But they didn't go for that. They went for Dr. Oz. I hope that they're smart enough to go for Kathy Barnett next time and that they do not run Dr. Oz again. Do not run that man again. He is not good. He's already lost. Do not run him again. Do not turn these people that have lost into our versions of Beto O'Rourke and Stacey Abrams. When these people lose, get rid of them, especially races that are that high profile. Because obviously Oz's Hollywood connections, obviously his celebrity, obviously, and this is a deeply intelligent person. And I'm not, you know, I'm not taking anything away from that. But obviously, this stuff was not enough to get people in Pennsylvania to vote for him at the numbers they needed to vote for him in order to make him the next senator from Pennsylvania. It just didn't happen. But yet again, there are a lot of silver linings to what happened. And I'm going to get into those, and I'm going to take a break in a second, but we need to talk about the candidates that we are selecting. Back to Herschel Walker, not a good candidate. The bar was so low for Herschel Walker at that debate that all he had to do, and I said this to a friend, all Herschel Walker had to do during that debate was not drool on himself. And people would have been shocked and surprised. And when I saw that debate, the only thing I saw was somebody who knew he was prepped well, he knew how to do his talking points, and he knew how to do that sort of like folksy all shucks thing. It's not a great candidate. And for me personally, and I feel like now I can speak a little bit more openly about that. Like nothing that I say on this podcast is going to affect whether Herschel Walker gets elected to Senate. He likely will get elected to Senate. And I don't, you know, I try not to fanboy these politicians, but I will say this. Herschel Walker was never a great candidate. This was somebody that he will, you know, do what he's told. He'll vote how he's told. But for me, as a Black Republican, what I thought when they started propping Herschel Walker up, I was like, these people just think that they can get any Black person because they wanted to have it to Black people. And granted, I get that visually. I get it. But now you're going to tell me that there is nobody else that is more qualified, that is a better candidate than Herschel Walker. You can't tell me that. The only thing you can tell me is that this person has a name, and that's all you're doing. You're giving a name, you're giving some fame, you're giving some celebrity. And by the way, in Herschel Walker still has a lot more liabilities. There's people close to her. There's people close to Herschel that are being worked on right now to flip and all this other stuff. And so now we've just got another, I don't know, month and a half of you know, thinking about this stuff. And they're going to dig even deeper into Herschel's liabilities. And I do not think that that is I don't think that's a particularly safe seat, because it has to do, like I said again, with candidate quality. But now that I've said that, and I'm going to get back to my original point about Donald Trump after the break, but I want to talk about some of the silver linings, because there were silver linings here, folks. There were silver linings that happened on Tuesday, and I think that it is important that we recognize the silver linings, we take the wins, and we try to plot a path forward for that. So I'll break down some of the wins and some of the silver linings after the break.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, problematics. Like I said before the break, it's not all doom and gloom. All right, let's take a step back and look at it this way. first of all, Republicans are about to take back the House. Okay, now it may not be by the, it may not be by as much as we wanted it to be, but it is happening, and I think that it is highly likely that Republicans take back the Senate as well. Again, at this point, in the most ridiculous thing about this is that I am literally recording this at like 5 p.m. on Thursday. This, you know, this episode is going to come out on Friday, and there are still races that are still yet to be called. It is completely ridiculous. But like I said, there is silver lining there. And I want to look at two key states in particular. Like, look at Florida and look at how Miami-Dade County, okay, this is a county that went for Hillary Clinton by double digits. This is a county that went for Joe Biden, just flipped red, okay? Florida is no longer, and I had to tell you guys this, as a proud Floridian at this point, Florida is no longer a swing state. Florida is a red state. You're going to be getting, you're going to be hearing so much hate. It's so funny. I never heard so much hate from Florida, from your typical sort of progressives than I did this year. Like, it was like, nobody ever really, I always loved Florida. New Yorkers always loved Florida. People always wanted to go there. But now Florida has become public enemy number one. And I'll even be in New York City, I'll even be talking to gay guys, and now there's like this anti-Florida hatred that I guess everybody's supposed to hate Florida because, like, it's very, very strange. Like I said, politics has driven this country absolutely insane. But Florida is now deep red. You've got Ron DeSantis, like I said earlier, won Florida by 20 points. That was enormous. That is enormous. And I was actually at his victory party in Tampa the other night. I should have done some interviews, but I did not. But it is just huge. Now, Florida, that has a very large population, has also told, it's just Ron DeSantis has set the standard in so many different ways in terms of how we govern for, if you want to call it the MAGA agenda, if you want to call it the conservative agenda, whatever you want to call it, Ron DeSantis has set the standard as to how we govern in this way. Look at what they have done with elections in Florida. Nobody has any questions about Florida. Florida's elections are free. Florida's elections are fair. Florida's elections are counted the night of. Are you nobody? There's not, you know, we're not waiting 3 or 4 days to figure out what is going on in Florida. Florida was right about COVID. Florida is right about a lot of different things. And this is the kind of leadership, and truly, and I've said this before, Problematics, there is going to be a segment of this population who will always vote for Republicans no matter what. And there's a segment that will always vote for Democrats no matter what. Like, these things are never going to change. What I truly believe, as somebody that is conservative leaning but independent minded, is that Ron DeSantis is somebody that appeals to independents. I have a very good friend that has been my friend for years and years. She's a very dear friend. We just had dinner the other night in Florida. And literally listening to her try to find a reason to not like Ron DeSantis is actually hysterical. And I told her this to her face. And she's like, well, you know, I just wish he was okay on social issues. And I was like, well, what don't you like on social issues? So he banned abortion. He didn't ban abortion. Well, he's homophobic and he's anti-gay. No, he's not homophobic. He's not anti-gay. And then she goes, well, what about the don't say gay stuff? And I had to break down to her the Parental Rights and Education Act. And then she's like, oh, well, you know, yeah, you know, I could see that. And so this is somebody who appeals to independence, I think. Is DeSantis going to run for president in 2024 or run for president for 2024? Look, I talked to a lot of people, and this is no inside information. I'm talking about anybody in the campaign or anything like that. But there seems to be a feeling on the ground that he will. And if and when DeSantis runs for president, he will run on a record. He will run on things that he has done. He will not run on what he is going to do. He will not run on some ideas that he has, some sort of pie in the sky. My bet is that when he decides to run, he's going to say, this is what I did in Florida, and this is how it will be implemented nationally. And I think it'll be brilliant because I think that he really does appeal to independents. So, yes, Florida is deep red. Again, a very, very, very big positive takeaway from Tuesday night's midterms. J.D. Vance, our new senator from Ohio, Ohio also became even more red. J.D. Vance, this was a decisive victory over Tim Ryan. And you could kind of tell in the last couple of weeks of that race that Tim Ryan wasn't really into it. He kind of like knew that he was going to lose, all this stuff. And if you want to get into some of the older episodes, I interviewed J.D. Vance for an older episode of Problematic. And he's a very insightful, very interesting person. This is somebody that I believe is going to make a terrific senator. I think he's going to be absolutely amazing. And so this kind of blood, the J.D. Vances of the world are what this party needs. And by the way, for anybody that's ragging on Trump and saying that Trump is a drag on the party and Trump is all this, et cetera, et cetera, look at J.D. Vance. Trump endorsed J.D. Vance. I think it helped J.D. Vance in Ohio. Because what it really does come down to is it comes down to the quality of the candidate. And J.D. Vance is a high-quality candidate. He was a candidate that is high-quality enough to where, would he have done okay without the Trump endorsement? Yes, and I still actually believe that he would have won without the Trump endorsement as well. But the Trump endorsement helped him. It did not hurt him because J.D. Vance is a disciplined enough candidate. J.D. Vance is a candidate with enough integrity. He is an authentic enough candidate to where he's not going to take an endorsement from Trump and then run with it, you know, down to crazy town like some of these candidates did. And this speaks to candidate quality. And like I said, again, there were plenty of candidates that won that had Trump endorsements. And the ones that lost, we may have to start thinking about whether it's great to prop up, you know, weak candidates just because they have a Trump endorsement. And so these are things that I think that we all need to start thinking about moving forward. But my last note to you, Problematics, is this. I believe that there's a concerted effort from the mainstream media right now, particularly the left, particularly Democrats. There's a division that they want to sow. So they want to demoralize conservatives because, yeah, but like these people lost, okay? These people lost. And it wasn't a red tsunami, but they still lost pretty handily. They're not going to keep control of the House. They're going to retire Nancy Pelosi. Thank God. I mean, you know, who's throwing that parade? And so I think that there's a concentrated effort among the left, among Democrats, among especially mainstream media to sort of sow this discord. Like, oh, you know, between the Trump crowd and the DeSantis crowd, or to, you know, have everybody blame Trump. And then you've got these establishment, you know, conservatives, like people like that are writing for like the National Review and all this other stuff. By the way, these people did nothing but lose before Donald Trump. These people are losers. Okay, they've done nothing but lose. And what you have to understand is that there are a lot of people in the Republican Party that were okay with losing because they're going to make money no matter what. And they can write their little think pieces and they can go to the diplomat in D.C. and they can keep on going to their galas or whatever, and they will continue to live in that bubble and they don't really care when they lose. And that's the reality of the situation. So I wouldn't put too much emphasis in what these establishment losers think. I really, 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 truly 100% would not. But in the future, do we need to pick better candidates? Yes. Will the Trump endorsement hold a little less weight? Yes. Are they a little too obsessed with fame and Hollywood celebrity, are candidates that are traditionally sort of like, you know, good looking? Yes. You know, we need to change some of those things. And when I say traditionally good looking, I mean, you've got two people that lost. I mean, Bo Hines could have been an Abercrombie model. Okay, I still I still have no idea how that guy lost. It has to be probably people didn't focus on their ground game enough. And the races that won, by the way, are candidates who, whether they got the Trump endorsement or not, they focused on door knocking. They focused on grassroots activism. That is how you win. It's not via Twitter. It's not via a Trump tweet or Truth Social post or whatever it is that they're calling it nowadays. It's from the grassroots activism. So I will say this, Problematics, do not get demoralized. There is some good stuff here. There is some good stuff going on with the MAGA movement. There's some good stuff going on with the Republican Party. And I think that we are going to see more good stuff in the coming days ahead as more of these votes get counted. So don't be demoralized. Be positive. And we'll all likely to be singing a much different tune within another week. All right, Problematics, thank you so much for joining. As always, you can listen to Can't Cancel Rob Smith every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday on iHeart Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Mike Slater from the podcast Politics by Faith. This is a crazy time in our country. It's stressful, a lot of anxiety, and it's going to get worse. And I realized that one of the things that helps me take away the stress is realizing that there's nothing new under the sun. So on this podcast, we take the news of the day and we run it through the Bible and other periods in history to realize that we've been through this before and we can rise above again. Politics by Faith, anywhere you listen to the podcast, Politics by Faith.
Hey, this is Vivek Ramaswamy. The media has systematically lied to you. The Hunter Biden laptop story, the origin of COVID-19, the Trump-Russia collusion hoax, or how your money's being spent in Ukraine. Enough already with the lies. No more lies, hard truths only. That's what the Truth Podcast is all about. It's not standard conservative talking points. If you want that, go somewhere else. But if you want the hard truth delivered to you in a way that challenges you and will challenge me intellectually, you're not going to find anything like this on the internet. Subscribe to the Truth Podcast today on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.